We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, we are in a way more cheerful mood this time around. Welcome in, everybody, to the LakersNation.com post-game show. I'm your host, Sean Davis. The Lakers win the regular season series against the Oklahoma City Thunder 3-1, winning tonight. And we're going to call it dominating fashion. I don't care what the final score was. I mean, anybody that watches the game and isn't a box score Becky is what we called it on playback, they know that the Lakers really dominated this game. They ultimately wound up winning 116-104. A really, really fun game. We got a lot of stuff to take away. The Lakers also got some additional help tonight with the Chicago Bulls pulling off a miraculous comeback, which is kind of setting the stage for two. I mean, they're already important, so I don't want to like over-exaggerate, but I mean, really, really setting the stage nicely for two monumental games with the Sacramento Kings, first on Wednesday. So we're going to do a little bit of digging and diving into that matchup here on today's show, and you know, trying to come up with a game plan. And if I have time, I'll try to get to that a little bit tomorrow as well, and then the one next week as well. So welcome in, like I said, to welcome in from YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We're going to be taking your questions and comments throughout tonight's show. Super chats are the number one way, guaranteed way to make sure you guys get your question answered live on the air. In celebration of this Lakers win tonight, let's try to get a like spike. Let's let the first initial like goal. Let's set it at 50 likes. I know you guys can do it. Let's get this out to as many Laker fans as possible so we could celebrate. So like spike, everybody smash that like button for me if you're on the YouTube side, and submit your questions as well so we can dive in here to a really, really fun game. Well, like I said, I will say this, like the Thunder, I do think the Thunder missed some shots, right? But this is what I find really, really impressive from tonight's game. And this is something I think the Lakers needed for some confidence, but just for some, I'll say confidence, because defensively, the Lakers, and I think every Laker fan, you don't have to, I mean, unless you're living up under a rock, every Laker fan will tell you, particularly since the NCAA tournament, the Lakers defense has kind of fallen off a cliff. And tonight is probably one of the three best defensive games this Lakers team has had since the NCAA tournament. And this you know, piece of data right here is a great example of it. In quarters 1, 2, and 3, the Lakers held the Oklahoma City Thunder's half-court offense to a 0.836 points per possession in the half-court. That is incredible efficiency. And then the Lakers, their half-court offense scored at above a 1 point per possession. Really, the only reason why this game was like as close as it should have been earlier on, and then the Lakers start to pull away, is because the Lakers in quarters 1 through 3 had 16 turnovers. So if the Lakers were able to cut down on the turnovers, then this game might have been a blowout pretty much from the start. And look, man, I think they have some great talent. You know, I think they have great talent. I think they have a phenomenal head coach. I can't say anything, you know, more about the job I think that Mark Daigneault does there in Oklahoma City. SGA is my vote for MVP as of right now. So that tells you what I think about him. I think you know, Jalen Williams is a rising star, if not already like an all-star caliber player. So, I mean, Chet Holmgren, arguable, rookie of the year, right? So, I think you guys know now, I think the world of this Oklahoma City Thunder team. But if the Thunder match up with the Lakers or with the Pelicans in round one, it gets ugly for them, right? Like, if I'm the Thunder, I pray to God I get to play a Sacramento, a Dallas, a Phoenix even, right? Because Oklahoma City matches up well. It bodes well more for the even a Golden State. I feel pretty fine with OKC about against Golden State, because what OKC doesn't want to happen is what we kind of see tonight, what we see when they match up with the Pelicans even. If you can muck things up, right? If you can like really be imposing physically with your size, then that bothers them, right? So I don't know if Oklahoma City wants to face the Lakers or the Pelicans in round one. Now, Phoenix, like I said, Sacramento, Dallas, Golden State, sure, they'll be ecstatic, I think. But the Lakers are a legitimate mismatch problem for OKC. Just with AD alone, and we talked, this is a point of emphasis we brought up on the playback stream, playback.tv/LakersNation, where you guys can watch all the Lakers game with myself and Trevor Lane. We brought this up when guarding Chet, the Lakers have three legitimate dudes for Chet. You can kind of rotate through AD, Rui, and LeBron, and all three of them. LeBron didn't get as much of like a, you know, an opportunity to guard Chet tonight. But Ruby got significant time, especially on switches where they would try to go like a Jalen Williams or SGA and Chet ball screen. Sometimes they just switched that action and it got Ruby on Chet, and he was perfectly fine when Chet tried to back him down. So I think we really, really match up well nicely against them. And this is something that was really, really noticeable, and I might even do a film breakdown on it. That's how good it was. But Freddie B says they were actually talking and making the right switches. They were locking down tonight. There was a possession. And anybody that was watching the game live here on the YouTube channel or over on Playback knows what I'm talking about when I bring it up. Because you guys seem like geek out or like nerd out a little bit. It was a possession in the third quarter. I think it ended up in a Lou Dort three, unfortunately. But the Lakers did something that was called a triple switch, where they switched the ball screen. And then they did another switch, so they triple switched to avoid a mismatch on said play. Lou Dort just, unfortunately, was on a heater tonight. Lou Dort, trying to find where his stats were at for the night. Lou Dort, 5 of 7 from three. So, I mean, Lou Dort on a heater, sure, but, you know, there was some really, really fun defensive possession from this Lakers team from around the middle of the first quarter to the end of to maybe even the beginning of the fourth. There are some really, really fun defensive possessions from this Lakers team. And yeah, like I said, if I'm the Thunder, I do not want to play the Lakers in round one. There are still a couple of things I think Darvin needs to kind of figure out for this Thunder matchup. And this is a fun time to maybe look at some of the data here. But the Lakers tonight really, really struggled with their post offense. I mean, granted, both teams did. The Thunder scored at a 0.4, so a 0.4 points per possession on their post offense. The Lakers were a 0.375, so not better at all. And that's actually where a lot of the turnovers came from, because what the Thunder were doing, especially earlier on in the game, was the Thunder were switching a lot. And what they would do is if they got a mismatch on the big or the post-up guy, they would aggressively front the post and send a backside help defender. And me and Trevor kind of calling out, hey, just go high-low action. That's a great way to deter that. So there's a couple of things I think the Lakers can do a better job of in it for a potential Thunder matchup. We go back to the last matchup between these two teams. The Lakers post offense actually rocked. So maybe the Thunder made an adjustment. If you go back to the second game, again, Lakers post offense was pretty good. The first game where I don't think Bron played. No, the first game, Bron, the Lakers were semi-healthy, actually. I mean, no Vando. Okay, now I lied. They were not healthy. It was LeBron, D'Lo, AD, Max, Taurean as their starting five. Then JHS, Austin Reeves, Alex Fudge, who's not even on the team anymore, Christian Wood, Damoy Hodge. So, yeah, never mind. They were not healthy whatsoever. But in the last three meetings, this Lakers team has done a spectacular job with this matchup. And even in the first game, the Lakers post offense was really, really good. So I'm just going to chalk it up as the Thunder made an adjustment. It's a really good adjustment heading into this game. And the Lakers, for a potential playoff series, they would have to make another adjustment and get ready for that, because I just don't think you cannot run your post offense. In the half court tonight, the Lakers' ball screen attack was actually kind of meh. It wasn't the best night for it. Their ISO attack was incredible, and they honestly just hit their shots, and they were big on the boards tonight. So let's go. Big time win. Jay Hoodie with Super Chat. Appreciate you once again, guys. Super Chats are the number one guaranteed way to make sure you guys get your answer question live on your question answered live on the show. Jay Hoodie says, Sean, I'm very sad because this team is too talented, only be 5 games over .500, and our ceiling is capped with Ham as the coach. We win most nights off of talent. Good win, though. This was a pretty well-coached game, I thought, from Darvin. I thought the rotations made sense. I really love what they did schematically, like I said, defensively tonight for the Thunder. I thought the game plan was really, really well prepped. Offensively, there was some stuff that I said, like I said, bothered me a little bit is regarding to their post attack. But otherwise, yeah, it was a really, really, really good coach game, I thought. A win like this and just how you've played in general against the Thunder has me a little optimistic for a potential Thunder matchup if you do have to face those guys in the playoffs, which I would imagine will be round one or round two. He had really good rotations tonight. Let's see if he can keep it up. Yeah, we'll see. And I understand all the skepticism, right? But tonight, I don't think that this is a one by talent game. I thought, especially the way they started. Oh my gosh, that the start to this game was just so egregiously bad to where I don't think it's fair to say, yeah, you know, this was all talent. But I do understand the point, and I understand Eddie's skepticism. My guy, Mama Mentality, asks, how significant will our defense improve once Cam is fully 100%, Bando and Gabe returns? Also, love the content, Lake Show, LN, purple and gold, emoji hearts. It's going to increase tenfold. It's going to be incredible how good this defense is going to be. And you get to a Thunder series with those two. And by the way, like, shout out Austin Reeves, shout out Spencer Dinwiddie, shout out Cam freaking Reddish, man. Those three guys, I thought, were freaking spectacular tonight defensively. They played the role offensively too. Austin, I thought, was great. 16 points, 7 assists, 6 boards. He had 5 turnovers. I thought the Lakers team as a whole, though, were pretty sloppy. But he was freaking spectacular tonight. He got the bulk of the SGA assignment, especially earlier on in the game. And he was just rock solid, man, just competing. And then Spencer Dinwiddie had a really, really good stretch. I want to say in the third quarter, where, again, you just want to talk about competing and being and wrecking havoc on the ball defensively. He was really, really good. And then Cam Reddish, obviously, he didn't play a ton. Like Mama Mentality alludes to here, I still don't think he's all the way back to being 100%. But, I mean, you get Bando and Cam back for this series. I mean, Bando and Gay back for a series against the Thunder. OKC really doesn't want to see you then, because you could just shuffle through Bando, Cam, and then maybe like one or two other guys for SGA. And then that takes more pressure off of Austin to defend less and things like that. And then Bando also kind of masks some problems and allows AD to be a little more effective defensively, where AD is now kind of covering for everybody with Bando involved. It makes AD's life a little bit easier. So it was Bando around. Yeah, it makes AD's life a little bit easier. So this team defensively has a really high ceiling if they're able to get healthy. I think Darvin today said that they expect an update on both Vando and Cam next week. So there's some optimism there. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited. This is a good win. I'm going to celebrate this one. This is a good win. So we have crushed our first initial like goal of 50 likes. Appreciate you all. Let's get another like spike in here. If you guys haven't already, please leave a like on the stream. Get this out to as many Laker fans as possible so we can celebrate this freaking win. Let's try to get up to, let's do 105 likes tonight. That'll be really, really fun to do. And I think that might be a record for most likes. So let's try to break it. I think our record right now is 110. So 105 might not be the record, but appreciate you guys. Let's get a like spike in here. All right, Adam with a question says, the switching and keeping the bigger defender down low was the difference. They did it and did it well. Great communication and great team win. Like I said, the switching was spectacular tonight, to the point where, like I said, if I don't do a film breakdown, I'm definitely doing a Twitter thread. So make sure you guys follow me on X/Twitter at Sean, S-E-A-N, by the way, it's on the screen. For some reason, some people call me Sean with a U and a W where it's spelled out right there. Anyway, Sean _DAVI on Twitter /X. I'll get a thread posted up in the morning or so. Because this was a really fun defensive game to where they kind of had me nerding out or whatever on the playback stream. Let's take a look at some of the more data from tonight. And we're going to get back. We are going to preview the Kings game as well. So, Tali. Hold your question for now. Tali says, Sean, how we beat the Kings. Feel like Fox and the Kings always torture for some reason. Yep. Got to get to that in just a second. Let's take a look we already did this. We already looked at the data. Okay. I'm sorry. Never mind. Tali, we'll get to your question now. Let's take a look at this Kings matchup. Take a look at this Kings matchup. And in doing so, we're going to start off. So this is kind of a great way, I think, to let you guys know how I prep for my team. So especially if it's a repeat opponent, right? So if it's a repeat opponent, this is what I do. I go back and I take a look at the data and the film from the whatever previous matchup. So the Lakers have had two matchups with the Kings. So if I'm preparing for this game, the first thing I'm doing like right now, like literally right now, if I'm a coach or like for my team or whatever, I'm watching the film, I'm looking at the data from both games, right? So you look at these two games. We got so starters from the last game. It was Braun. Did D'Lo not play? Are we at the part where D'Lo's coming off the bench? No, D'Lo did not play the first time around. D'Lo does not play the first time around. The starting five was Austin, Taurean. Oh, wait, no, I'm blind. D'Lo's right here. It's D'Lo, Austin, Taurean, Braun, AD. Which right now the starters are swapped Taurean out for Rui, who I don't think was back. No, Rui played. Okay, never mind. So in terms of how healthy they were, it's kind of similar to where they're at now, except it's no Gabe and, yeah, that's about right everywhere else. No Christian Wood either come Wednesday night. Taurean had 20 points. Braun had 27 points. He had 8 turnovers, so good grief. I felt like somebody fouled out this game. I guess not. You had 12 turnovers off the bench for you. Rui had 11. Christian Wood had 11. I remember feeling like after this game, like, man, you should just play those dudes more. All right, for the Kings, De'Aaron Fox burned you 37 points. Yeah, 12 points for Sabonis. He had 15 boards. Keegan Murray at 17, Kevin Huerter at 12, and then off the bench, Malik Monk also killed you. Mom and Natalia Sean want me to send a link. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you, Mamba. Means a lot. We really do. So, yes, once again, go follow me on Twitter and on X and on Instagram. Good grief. We passed our initial like goal of 105. We are at 109 likes. Keep hitting that like button, guys. Really, really appreciate it. And then, yeah, just Malik Monk. Looking at some play type data here really, really fast. This game did wind up going to overtime. The Lakers post offense sucked this game. only 0.44 points per possession for their post-up offense. Their ball screen offense, even they used it a ton, but it wasn't that effective. So let's see if that trend continues going into the next game. 1.2 points per possession, their ISO attack. This is also before the Lakers get by a damn shot. So that's kind of unfortunate. So let's go to the second meeting between these two teams. Maybe. There we go. So they only wound up, they didn't play. Like, it wasn't that far apart. The next time they played was November 15th, which is, what, 2 or 3 weeks later? The starters for this matchup, for the Lakers, D'Lo, Torian, LeBron, Cam, AD. And then off the bench, Austin. I think this is the stretch where they really hurt. No, like, this is fairly comparable. Again, just no Christian Wood. But this is right about where the team is at right now, except you throw in Spencer Dinwiddie, who I think could actually help come tomorrow. Malik Monk couldn't buy a shot. The Lakers bench actually outscored the Kings bench, so that's good to see. But the Lakers stars, Anthony Davis, had 9 points. Chat, for anybody that remembers, was this the right around the stretch where AD was kind of banged up? Because I don't understand 9 points from AD. And I would imagine Twitter acted appropriately when he had 9 points. Cam Reddish had 16 points and 5 steals. LeBron 28, 10 and 12. So he had a triple-double. D'Lo at 28. Goodness gracious, man. The problem is De'Aaron Fox, 28. Kevin Huerter, 28. Domantas Sabonis, 29. Goodness gracious. If you look at the play type data.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lakers were great in transition. Their post offense was way better this time around. Their ball screen offense was way better this time around. So, like, in terms of offensive efficiency, they're actually a little bit better at some of the key play types for the Lakers, at least, where you look at post-ups and ball screens. Their ISO stuff sucked this time around. And they actually hit their shots, too. They got killed on turnovers. 23 turnovers. and they let the Kings have too many possessions in transition. The Kings had 11 transition attempts the first time around. And then I'm trying to find some play calling data here really, really quickly to see how well the Lakers play called or how good, excuse me, the play calling was this time around. So, all right. So for some context, if the play calling rate is above 50%, that's good, right? The Lakers winning percentage is drastically higher when they play call at a 50% rate or higher. Anything like in the 40s is really, really lackluster and mediocre. Anything below 40 is just downright awful and damn near a fireable offense, if we're being completely honest with you. In the first game with the Kings on that October 29th meeting, the Lakers' play calling rate was 39.7%. So that could actually explain why in the first matchup, the Lakers' ball screen and post-up offense were really, really bad. But in the second game, it was really, really good because the Lakers' second matchup, even though they lost by 15 by a bigger point margin, the Lakers' organized offense rate and play calling rate, if you will, was at a 51.25%. So, you know, I'm throwing out fancy numbers at you, I guess, or whatever. But, you know, above 50, good. Below 50, bad. Now, if you want to look at the current trend for the Lakers, technically, but prior to tonight, we don't have the numbers quite yet, but for today's game. But from the San Antonio game to Denver, the Lakers' organized offense percentage never touched 50%. As a matter of fact, the highest number was 45.6%, which was against Denver. They had 42% against San Antonio, 45% against Phoenix, 41% against the Clippers, 37% against the Wizards, which is downright awful. And it feels like the team just said, you know what? Nope, we're just better than you. We're going to find a way to win somehow. And then 45% against Denver, like I said. So I really, really think if the Lakers play call the right way, I don't really feel the Kings can stop you. Let's take a look at the Kings' most recent games, right? So let's see. Let's see what the Kings have been doing. So this is, again, another part of the step that I go through when I'm preparing for a team, for the team I coach, when I'm preparing for you. I look back at our games, if we've already played, see if there's a key data or film points I want to reference in film, and then I go find probably your two or three most recent games. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go look at their most recent games. So they lost tonight to the Bulls. The Kings starting five tonight. It's the same that it's kind of been. It's De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, DeMontis Sabonis. And then off the bench, it's still, in terms of key rotation players, Trey Lyles, Alex Len, Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Chris Duarte. Davion Mitchell's, I feel like his play is really dependent on how much is he impacting the game defensively. And then Malik Monk, obviously, right? So tonight, Sabonis fouled out. You gotta keep Sabonis off the glass. Let's see some key play types. The Kings aren't gonna run a bunch of ball screens. 37 ball screens scoring possessions might seem like a lot, but compared to the rest of the NBA, that's kind of low, right? As you see, the Bulls ran 53 ball screens tonight, or they had 53 scoring possessions derived out of a ball screen. Like, that is a lot. If you go back to the Kings' win over the Timberwolves, let's see. The Kings, see, again, 35 ball screens. But they had 22 bloody handoffs. Like, that is insane. So I think that's actually a good point to where we go look at their actual play type data, right? So if we look at the Kings. They are a really, really good transition offense. They're in the 80th. Sorry. They are well above a point per possession. If you look at efficiency in the league, they are 14th. So they're an above average transition team. The Lakers are actually the third best transition offense in the NBA. In the half court, they're a really, really good team. Now, the Kings are trying to run. So even though they're 14th in the excuse me, in overall efficiency, they are really, really good at getting out and running. So they're going to play fast. You got to be able to compete and run and sprint back in transition. How the Lakers start this game? The Kings are not a team that, you know, the Bulls did it tonight. I don't want to start behind against the Kings. I really just don't, right? Get out ahead, keep it close or whatever, and we'll go from there. The Kings don't face, the Kings actually do face zone a ton. And for a team that faces zone a ton, they're not that great. They're below average in zone effectiveness. Yeah. If you look at effective field goal percentage against the zone, they're middle of the pack. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went to it. If we look at go back really quickly to the two meetings, the Lakers, in the first meeting, they did not zone the Kings at all. And the second meeting, I imagine they did. In the second game, the Lakers did zone the Kings. And all in the fourth quarter, and the Kings only scored three times out of it. And they were only twos. And the Lakers, technically the Lakers' zone defense was better than the zone offense. I mean, the zone defense was better than the man defense. They held the Kings under 0.9 points per possession against the zone. And against man, the Kings were crushing the Lakers man-to-man. So, I don't know. If the Lakers went zone, it wouldn't surprise me, as long, especially if it's for like a few possessions. I don't expect the Lakers to just sit in the zone. But, yeah, we're really, really – well, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it, I guess, right? All right, let's go back to the Kings. Let's go back. Sacramento. All right, cool, right? So that's some interesting data there, all right? So one thing we just kind of talked about was do you go zone? If they do, I'm not going to be mad at it. I wouldn't sit in it, though. And there we go, guys. We hit our light goal. We broke the light goal, actually. So the most likes you've had on a live stream. Appreciate you guys. Be the LeBron. Be LeBron James, why don't you, right? Keep breaking your own goal. Our own record. We're at 134 likes on the stream. Let's keep trying to crush it. Smash that like button. Really, really do appreciate it. So the Kings defense, they are awful in transition, actually. They're in the bottom 10% in the NBA in terms of transition efficiency, transition defense efficiency. Their half-court defense is really, really bad. Half-court man sucks. Their half-court zone sucks. So you got to feel good. They're not going to run zone a ton. They're in, 2.2%. Hold on. If we look at possessions per game, yeah, like two possessions a game of zone is right around league average. So that's really nothing there, right? If you look at their defense, we can stick with the defense. So, their ball screen defense sucks, right? Now, one thing the Lakers have to be ready for, I'm not sure if they did it against them the last time they played, but the Kings are definitely going to send some extra help, right? The Kings are in the 93rd percentile of per synergy in terms of how much they're going to send like extra help, pick and roll, ball handler, and the defense commits. I mean, that like terminology can get tricky or whatever. That basically means like switching, hedging, stuff like that, which does align up with some of the other data. Like the Kings, since Mike Brown's been there, they've been a team that's going to switch and hedge more. And that's why this number is so high for when they trap, because that does align up nicely for them. They guard well in ISO, but that's about it, actually. So I think everything here looks really, really good for the Lakers to exploit defensively with the Kings in terms of play type data. And then offensively with the Kings, even though they don't run a ton of ball screens, right? They're in the bottom 7th percentile in the NBA in terms of like pick and roll offense, right? Like if you look here in terms of pick and roll passing, pick and rolls, including passes or whatever, right? they are in the 7th percentile. They only run ball screens or have a scoring possession derived out of a ball screen 7% of the time, which would mean they are the third. They run ball screens or have a scoring possession that the scoring action is out of a ball screen, whether it's like a ball screen and kick out, ball screen and the ball handler scores or a pass to the roll man or a cutter or to another player on the floor. Only they're in the bottom three teams in the league. It's the Nuggets, the Warriors, and the Kings. The Lakers, for example, are in the top eight. So Lakers are going to run a bunch of ball screens. The Kings are not really going to run a bunch of ball screens. But when it happens 30 times a game or whatever, or in this rate, yeah, 30 times a game, it's still something you have to worry about. But you really have to make sure that you do not let the Kings beat you at this other stuff. They are an elite dribble handoff offense. Right, like Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Blake Monk, like those guys can really get off in that way. And if you try to overplay it, the cuts can really, really get open and start to kill you as well. So that's gonna be something Lakers got to be ready for. Again, do they zone? I think they do for a little bit, but I don't know. The Kings are gonna play really, really fast. They're gonna play really, really fast. So. We shall see. I'm excited. I'm excited for the game Wednesday, though.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Really, really excited for this game Wednesday. All right, chat, let's get back to some of your questions and comments. Super chat here says, sucks we get the Bucks after they got it together. Giannis just got hurt, right? I mean, who knows, like, the extent of the injury, obviously, but Giannis just got hurt. The Lakers, I want to say they play the Bucks Friday, right? Hold on really quick. Let me check the schedule. Yeah, they play the Bucks Friday. Lakers play the Bucks Friday. So, you know, you hope, hopefully Giannis is okay. And I hope Giannis enjoys a well-rested, extended vacation in Milwaukee. And he's able to come back on Saturday. That'll be much appreciated. So the Lakers post All-Star break, they were 3-2 in the stretch that we said we needed them to be. And then in this stretch, Denver through Golden State, the 7-game stretch, I said they needed to try to be 4-3. So that would put them at 7-5 in the first 12 games out of the All-Star break. And you're on track, right? You're on track. Tali asks, what's your record prediction over the next 5 games? I don't know. Right now, I'm not even going to do a record prediction. I'm going to see what needs to happen. What I need to happen is the Lakers have to win 3 out of these next 5, which would, again, put you right at that seven win marker that I had them at. 7 win marker I had them at coming out of the All-Star break, 7-5. You need to do that. So I look at these next 5 games, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento, Golden State. You need to beat Sacramento twice and you need to beat Golden State, right? If you somehow Yeah, I think that's what needs to happen. You need to beat Sacramento twice. You need to beat Golden State. If you lose to Minnesota, you lose to Milwaukee, it sucks. It's unfortunate. You never want to lose. But I would rather lose to Minnesota and beat Sacramento both times than beat Sacramento once, lose to Sacramento the other time, and beat Minnesota. If that makes sense, right? I would much rather beat Minnesota. Beat Sacramento twice, if that makes sense. If you're able to, obviously, if you can somehow though get one of Milwaukee and Minnesota, and then still do that other stuff, that would be a massive, massive, massive perk. And then I'm not gonna say your schedule gets easier after that Golden State game, but you have like a stretch where you are probably the favorite in almost every game. After Golden State, it's Atlanta, it's Philly, as of right now, Embiid's still out. It's Philly at home, Indiana at home, Milwaukee, that's probably the lone game you're not the favorite, but Memphis, Indiana, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington, those are 8 games right there where I'm like, yeah, you're the favorite. You got to win these games. And that's why, like I said, it's so pivotal to go on and just be right around 500 here. These next 5 games, go 3-2, and then you really can start stacking up wins. Stack up wins with Atlanta. Stack up wins with Memphis, Indiana, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington. And then that way you stack up those wins. You come back for the closing 6 games or 5 games of your season. That's actually kind of a gauntlet with Cleveland, Minnesota, Golden State again, Memphis, and New Orleans at the last day of the year, which is going to be a monumental game. That those are going to be big time games, and you really, really need to stack up on wins. You can't afford to lose to Memphis. You lose to Memphis even once, I don't know what I'm going to do with this team. Chat, let's try to do one more like spike. You guys have killed it all night long. You guys are new. We really appreciate you guys for checking in. BlakeStation.com post game show. We are at 161 likes. Keep smashing that like button. You guys are awesome. See how high we can get this thing. Why do we play bad versus the Kings? I truly feel like we're better than them. They really struggled guarding De'Aaron Fox in recent meetings. They haven't been able to slow down the Kings in transition. The one game they turned the ball over like crazy. They also get out to really, really weird slow starts against the Kings. So I guess we got to put together a key to victory, some keys to victory, right? You have to start fast against this Kings team, right? Even though the Bulls did tonight, I don't want to be coming from behind against the Kings, right? They're a team that can just keep going all game. You got to find some ways to guard De'Aaron Fox. I think Cam Reddish, Dinwiddie are going to get a large, bulk of that responsibility. If they went to max even, it wouldn't surprise me even just for a little bit. You got to make sure that you don't let Keegan and I'm blanking on his name now. Keegan and Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. You can't allow those 3 dudes to really pop off. I would rather let De'Aaron Fox go for 40 than let De'Aaron Fox still get his 20 and then Malik gets 20. Kevin Huerter hits 5 threes and Keegan Murray hits 4 threes or something like that, right? I will live with De'Aaron Fox. The other guys, I can't. It's to the point where I would deny all the other guys and let De'Aaron go score 70. They kind of let these other guys cook, right? And then again, AD has to dominate Domantas Sabonis. I think in the half court, I don't think the Kings can really stop you as long as you are running your offense. Again, 37% organized offense rate in that first meeting is unacceptable and damn near a fireable offense. So, yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait to dive into some of the film tomorrow. Lakers Nation, thank you. You guys are the best. You keep proving it every single night. Way to show up for a big-time Lakers win, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were in first place heading into tonight. We get a big-time win to celebrate, and then we're back at it Wednesday night for another big time game against the Sacramento Kings. So thank you guys so much for watching. Till next time, everybody. See ya. Stay safe. Go Lake Show. Have a good one, everybody. Peace out.